Chapter 10, Easy Video Suite Application. In this chapter, we're going to talk about Easy Video Suite Application. We've been talking about how to create your videos, different types of videos that you can create, different tools you can use to create your video. But one of the most important things to consider whenever you're doing video is how that video is going to be played back and the experience of the viewer. This is controlled by the player. A lot of people think, well, I can use a free player, YouTube or whatever. But you should not underestimate the power of a good video player. We're going to talk about the application of Easy Video Suite as being that player and talk about pros and cons of other players and in general, just the specific features that you have inside of Easy Video Suite that will empower you to engage and really retain your viewer. We're going to be covering the methods and tactics used by experts to stream professional web media that actually engages and compels viewers with Easy Video Suite. We're going to talk about conversion. Conversion is something that used to be really complicated, and it's something that's very necessary, and so many people don't understand this. In order to stream media across the web, it has to be the proper format, and it has to be the most widely accepted format. Not the most accepted by your viewers, the most accepted by your viewer's device. You see, people are on the internet on iPhones, smartphones, tablets, Androids, iPads, PCs, notebooks, Macs, Windows, Firefox, Chrome, Internet Explorer. There are so many possible combinations that your viewers might be using to watch the video that you're providing. Regardless of which one they're using, they expect your video to be playable, which means regardless of what device you use to record that video, it needs to be converted to a file format that will stream properly over the web and will be viewable across the wider array of devices. This procedure of making these videos web ready is called conversion, and we're going to talk in great detail about how important this is and what you need to know. We're also going to be talking about the settings of Easy Video Suite. There's lots of different settings that you can apply to your video file and the player itself. Some of these may be useful for the particular niche you're in, for your particular audience that your video will appeal to, and some won't. Some are very good and they actually give into the marketing side of your video, things like social sharing buttons and comment features and stuff like that. We're going to be talking about these settings. We're going to talk about video timelines. This is an awesome advanced feature of Easy Video Suite. Essentially, you can insert an action, an event, anywhere in the timeline of your video. So you can literally tell Easy Video Suite at minute 3 with 5 seconds, I want this to appear on the page, or I want this opt-in. Or I want this image or something to happen at this particular point in the video. You can do that with Easy Video Suite. And we're going to talk about that. Then pages. Easy Video Suite actually creates a web page for your video. You can actually dive in and customize those pages. This is a very useful feature for quick sharing for your videos and in general, just for publishing your media. So we're going to be covering conversion, settings, timelines, and pages in this chapter and how they are actually accomplished through the use of Easy Video Suite. Now, one of the things that I always tell people is, yeah, you can use free tools out there, but there's always a compromise. We've heard the saying, you get what you pay for. There's always a compromise when you use something that's free. There's a reason that the provider is giving you it for free. They are gaining something out of it. When it comes to video, well, if you use something like YouTube, what are you getting out of it? They're advertising on your video. That's the first thing that happens. The other thing is you say, well, I can get the code and put it on my site. But if the viewer expands it, they're taken to YouTube. And now YouTube is showing them ads on the right side, and they are totally taken away from where they were on the internet. It's a very viral way to get people. This is why they provide the free service. When you're running a sales business, you don't want people leaving your page to watch a video. You want people only clicking on one thing, and that is the order button. So it's very important that you consider using a professional video player. Then there's free ones out there that you can configure yourself, but they are complicated and don't have the features that you really need. And you never really get a second chance to make the first impression. Your video has got to stand out. It's got to look good. It's got to stream. If I'm just finding out about you and your website for the first time and you've got a video up on top, and when I land on your site, all I get is a little spinning arrow and I'm waiting for your video to play and it's not playing, you just made a terrible first impression. That's like showing up late for your first date. You don't want to do that. It's just important that your video streams well, works properly, and stands out. I recommend using Easy Video Suite. It's a very powerful tool for your video marketing. The best way to actually accentuate the quality of your video is using the power of Easy Video Suite to stream it and to captivate your audience with its dynamic and engaging features. It sounds like I'm selling it to you, but I guess in a way I am because I'm so fond of the product. This is something I use daily, and it truly does take your business to the next level. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first started using WebActics product series for first Easy Video Player and then Easy Video Suite, it literally changed the way I did business. It literally changed the way I was perceived online because I become much better at creating video. All of a sudden, embedding videos on my site and sharing videos that have interactive, dynamic functions was no longer a hassle. It was easy. Therefore, I've done it more often and I was perceived as an expert. I just was able to get better first impressions out there, and this is the power that you have when you use a tool like this. Now, let's get into the specifics. We said we were going to talk about conversion, and that's what I'm going to start. You need to make your videos 100% web ready. Now, many people think they know how to do this, but it's a lot more than just creating an MP4 file. I know people have heard of MP3 files. Well, the video version of MP3, obviously MP3 are audio files. MP4 are video files. They are the most widely recognized file format for video, meaning most devices that play video will recognize an MP4 file. Unlike Flash, where some devices like iPhones and iPads don't recognize Flash. So if there's a website that has a Flash video on it, when I go to that website using my mobile device, chances are I won't be able to see the video that owner of the website has failed to appeal to me and capture my business because their video didn't work and their site appeared broken to me. I'm sure you've had that experience in the past where you try to watch something or you saw that there was supposed to be a video there, and that's the worst part about it when it crashes or it doesn't work. It literally says the video is supposed to be here. I guess if I just didn't display the video at all, it wouldn't be so bad, but it actually makes you look like your site is broken. A lot of people think they know how to convert video, and a lot of people use free tools like I used to use, like Handbrake. Handbrake is a very powerful conversion tool, but you have to know what you're doing. Some people kind of get it web ready. They upload a video from their phone or their camera or whatever, then they convert it and turn it into MP4 with some sort of free conversion tool. But remember what we said about free. You get what you paid for. They make it kind of web ready. Just because it's an MP4 does not mean that it's going to be streamable across all types of devices. And it doesn't mean it's going to be the right file size. And it's not going to buffer and give your viewer the spinning wheel of death. It's important you make it 100% web ready. There are multiple factors that contribute to the playback quality of your video online. These factors will affect the viewer's experience and engagement. If I'm watching a video and I know that this has happened to everyone watching this presentation, if I'm watching a video and suddenly that video stops to try and catch up, we call it buffering. That's when all of a sudden the video stops and you get the spinning wheel of death. Then all of a sudden it plays 3 or 4 seconds and then starts buffering again. What happens is a couple of things are at play here. One, the connection. The speed of your computer and the computer speed itself obviously has a big role. What I mean by connection speed is your connection to the internet. Remember, the video is being streamed across your internet connection. If you got a lot of things going on, downloading happening, if you're just being bogged down by a lot of activity that will contribute. In many cases, this has happened to you and me when we aren't streaming. We aren't downloading. We aren't doing anything really spectacular with our computer, but for some reason, the video just starts spinning. So frustrating, and this affects the viewer's experience and engagement. If I'm considering buying something from you and you can't even get your video to work properly, how credible does that make you? This is important for you to consider. The reason this happens is generally because the file size, in the sense of bit rate, is too big. So there's too much data that you're trying to transfer through the web to the user's computer. And the computer has got to capture it, except the data has translated into a video format. Then the user's web browser has to display it for the user. If it's having trouble identifying all of the information because the file size is too big, then they're going to potentially get the spinning wheel of death, which affects the experience and engagement. So it really becomes a game of getting the file size down and compressing it and converting it as much as possible without experiencing the image quality. Naturally, as you start reducing the amount of data that you're sending to reduce that video, you're starting to deteriorate the quality of the video that will be displayed. the visual quality. We want to try and get the smallest file size that we can for a video without disrupting the quality of the playback. You have to consider various things. There's a lot of factors at play here to remember. There's the file format. Is it an MP4? Is it an MPEG? Is it a WMV? There's so many file formats out there, and MP4 is the one you want. There's another thing to consider, as well as the file size, the bitrate we were talking about, the technical stuff going on there that needs to be considered, compression rate, audio compression rate. That's another thing. You might have really big audio dynamic range that needs to be compressed. There's a lot of parameters to consider, and what a lot of people do is they say, well, I'm just going to download the free conversion tool, use the default setting, and turn it into MP4. Boom, I got an MP4. That's what I needed. Wrong. You didn't do what you needed to do properly. Then you're like, well, I converted it to MP4. I don't know why it's not playing right. It's because you didn't do it 100% web ready. With Easy Video Suite, one of the things that I love is the desktop app. You can literally take the video that you have on your desktop, you can drag it and drop it into the actual desktop app, and it will automatically convert. It will automatically set all the stuff that we just talked about. They are all doing it, the conversion and viewable across all the devices, including mobile devices as well. So what happens is not only is it compressing your video, but it's making multiple versions of the video. So the video can be streamed on mobile devices. It will literally recognize the type of the device your video is on and play the appropriate video in the appropriate compression, and that is awesome. This is all being done behind the scenes, and you don't have a bunch of settings you need to remember how to set. There's one little slider down at the bottom. Naturally, if you want really good high quality, you slide it to the right, and if you want lesser quality and faster streaming, you slide it to the left. If you look in the accompanying video, you'll see that I keep it right in the orange area. That's all I needed for it to look really good and still stream fast without any buffering. I really like this feature about Easy Video Suite. You can actually alter it and make multiple copies. And there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes on with the desktop app as well. You can also use it to record your screen, your webcam. You can literally draw on your screen and record what you're drawing. So there's a lot of other little perks that comes with it. But I'm really just talking about the player functions that come with Easy Video Suite, and compression is a big part of that. This is huge. Eliminating the whole technical part of this, I think anyone who has done video at one point or another has to convert some sort of file like FLV to MP4. And it's like, I don't want to pay $100 just for it to convert. Then you find a free one, it leaves a watermark on the video or only lets you do 3 minutes. Or it has a hoax and was a hoax and now you've got some sort of virus on your computer. So this is an awesome solution. I love the drag and drop feature. It converts everything into mobile and web ready, and it uploads them at the same time. So you can literally drag, drop, and just forget it. It's automatically going to put it online for you. It's automatically going to put it in your Easy Video Suite account. And it will put a link to the video page in your clipboard. So you literally drag, drop, and when it's done, you just paste the link. It's already up there. Awesome, awesome feature with the desktop app. 2, the conversion. Image quality and the video performance are the two things that will determine the perception value of your video. How clear can I see it? Is it fuzzy? Is it pixelated? Can I not see very good? Does it look like it was shot on a low quality camera? Sometimes if you use a really good camera but compress the video terribly, it's going to look like it was shot on a terrible camera. So the quality of the visual aspect of the video, that's a big part of whether it's going to be perceived as valuable or not. 3, the performance. You can have an awesome looking, sharp, crisp video, but if it buffers and it stops and doesn't play right then, again, the value of video is shot down and you're going to lose viewers. Ultimately, it's a question of how small can you get the file size without noticeably affecting the playback quality of the video. The larger the file, both in data and in dimension, a lot of people screw up the whole dimension part of it. You don't need to record so much if you're only going to reduce the size of the canvas later to stream it on a 720 window on your website. So larger the file, both in data and dimension in resolution, which is what we call the dimension of the video, width versus height, the data and the resolution, the bigger they are, the bigger your streaming challenges will be. 4. The setting of the video inside of Easy Video Suite. On the right-hand side, you'll literally see the profile section. when you upload a brand new video, like the one that you will see in my accompanying video. I uploaded a video called Factory Welcome 2. It actually allows you to create profiles. A profile is a particular configuration of saved video setting. So I can actually configure the way I want my video to display. To autoplay, display an image, do I want it to be 700 by 400, 800 by 450, whatever dimensions or resolutions you want. These are all settings, and you can save that group of settings as a profile. The same video file can have multiple profiles. How awesome is that? So now you can actually have multiple versions of the same video. You can have one that autoplays, one that is small, one that is large. You don't have to re-upload the video a number of times. This is a really, really cool thing because it saves time and enables you to be more versatile with your video. Number 5, the video section. This is where you configure the main part of your video, like the dimension, the resolution. As you can see in the particular settings, I've set it to 704 by 400, which is a common size for me because it sits inside of the optimized press page theme. The other thing you can set here is like autoplay, auto buffer. Auto buffering is where the video loads before it starts playing. It allows the entire page to load and autoplay. Obviously, no explanation needed. Pause and focus is cool because what it does, it whenever anybody moves to a different tab on their browser and they've stopped watching your video, it pauses the video. So it kind of forces people to watch and they can't go and do anything else while your video is playing. So that can be useful in some scenarios, but can be annoying in others. The other thing that you can do here with the basic video setting is you can use an image. So you can see I have a splash image that says click here to get started. I can select an image from my computer so that it displays at the beginning of the video and they can click it to start the video and get it to play. The video player section is actually where you set the basic playback parameter. In settings, there's various things. Now, we're going to talk about the player section at the settings. You can select from various types of players, and the player itself is mostly the control bar down at the bottom. It determines the look of the video, controls, and some of the hover features. So this way, when the user rolls their mouse or cursor over the screen, certain things can happen. It could display a Facebook share button, a tweet button, a Google Plus button. Another thing that can happen is it can hide the control bar. So whenever somebody puts the mouse over the screen, then it shows the play and pause button. And when their mouse isn't over the screen, then it gives you more screen room. And it actually just removes the control bar. You can also set the play entrance. This is cool. You can animate the player. It can bounce in, roll in. This is just a really good way to bring your viewers' eyes right to a video on your page. Especially if you have a really busy web page with lots of stuff. If you want their eyes right on the video, give it an animated entrance. This is something you can do with player settings. Number 6, the frame. The frame is just a skin that envelopes your player. They have a really cool collection. I like using the Mac style computer screen for my skin for my video. They have iPhone, iPad, a couple of other ones in there for you to choose from. Or you can just choose to have none and just let the video frame itself play. Continuing in the settings, this is really cool. This is a bar, not like the kind you go drinking at, but rather the kind that serves as a tool belt beneath your video. It's a toolbar, essentially, and you can have various tools like social icons, feedback tabs, that kind of stuff, and put them onto this bar. You can select the color of the bar and basically just put these little things on the actual bar beneath the video that the viewer can interact with during playback. So maybe they can tweet, leave a comment, download the video. There's a number of things here just that the user will be able to do on this bar. This is a really cool add-on to your videos that just gives it that, you know what we talked about, appearance and making first impressions. This really takes your videos to the next level. Number 7, the timeline portion. Now in the timeline video, you can do events. You can do all kinds of stuff. The timeline contains intro, outro, events in the middle of the timeline. You can even redirect it at the end. There is the timeline. It kind of looks like a ruler, and for this particular video, it's a minute and 50 seconds long. So the timeline represents the video, the playback time from 0 to 151. At any point in there, I can click to add an event. I can add the introduction to be video and an outro to the video. Number 8, logo reveal. Let's say you have a logo reveal that you do to brand your videos all the time. Maybe an animated logo. You don't have to edit that into every new video that you make. Instead, just upload the logo once, and when you upload the new video, instead of having to upload the logo directly into the video using some sort of editing software, what you can do is just add it in an intro. So what will happen is whenever the video is played back, it will first play the intro video that you have designated. Then it will automatically fade into the video in question. This is awesome. You can do this at the beginning or end. I do this all the time on my weekly webinars because I want to brand them, and this is a great way to do it. There's the intro section, and over there on the other side is the outro section. So you can literally just click one of these, and what happens is a little dialogue pops open, and you can then select from any other video. Number 9, the redirect. At the end of your video, you can put a URL here. You just tap on this little button, and it will give you a field where you enter your URL. At the end of your video, when it's done playing, it will automatically navigate your viewer's browser to the website that you designate. There's a lot of potential uses for that. It's a really cool feature. I tend to use this on pages where all I have is my video. I don't do this where I have a video and then perhaps some copy or another stuff on the website, because that can piss people off if they were reading something beneath your video, then all of a sudden when it finished, it took them somewhere else. Number 10, the event section. This is where you click and add your event. So you literally just click on that, and whatever section your timeline is on, you can now then add a new event. Another cool thing you can do, I'm not going to go into detail about, but you can add chapters. You can add chapters, so like, let's say you're talking about various things in your video. Instead of creating 10 videos, you could just designate where one section begins and ends, and create a little menu. A little chapter section where the person can click, let's say they want to listen to chapter 2, and it will just go right over to that part of the video and start streaming from there. So it gives the user, the viewer, the capability to interact with the video's playback. Really, really cool advanced features. Let's talk about the actual events, because that's something that really adds a level of professionalism and engagement to your video that you just can't get otherwise. The way that we do this is in the events section. You can select from a wide array of events that take place during a video. This is actually where you configure the duration of the location of the event. What I mean by the location is not the time location, but if you want it to actually take place inside the video, this is what I mean by location or on the web page. You can literally trigger events to happen on the website at a certain part of the video. Let's say 3 minutes in, I want to display an opt-in form beneath my video, or 5 minutes in, I want a payment button to appear beneath my video. You can literally control elements of your website by triggering events in your timeline here using these features. Very powerful stuff. If I wanted to do it inside my video, I would just click on the little button, and if I wanted to do it on my web page, I click on the other button. Now you can determine if this happens at the beginning of the video, or during the video, or at the end of the video. I do something all the time at the end of the video. I don't like it when my video ends up just leaves a black screen with a playback button to start back up again. I think that's just a waste of real estate. You've got to think about how valuable the top of your website is. It's the most viewed area. And now all of a sudden, the person is still reading your website, but you've got this big black box that says nothing at the top of the page. So I like creating an end splashes at the end of my video. This is where I would name that event. And this is where I would set the duration that I would want it to last for. If I say it's going to be at the end of the video, it will just stay on there forever. If I want it happening during the video, I can set a duration. So maybe I only want the button to display for a limited amount of time during the video. Maybe I want to display for, say, 10 seconds. Another thing you can do is pause the playback of the video during the event. So I could call on the user to do something and the video won't continue until they've done it. Think about the power and how much you can literally engage and interact with your user. You click next and it takes you right over to the next part of setting up your event in the timeline. This is where you style the event, and depending on the type of event you're triggering, you might want to adjust this style. This is where you can actually configure the event size and its appearance. So for example, let's say you're displaying an image or opt-in form. You can decide whether it's going to happen at the bottom or top of the screen, or for the full screen. In my case, where I was describing an end image, an end splash, something that displays when my video finishes, I usually have it take over the entire screen. So I'm not going to just go to the bottom or top third. I'm going to go on the entire screen. You can set the background color, so if you're doing the bottom and you only displaying the image or opt-in form on the bottom, you can designate what color the rest of the background will be, or if you want it to be translucent. This is also where you designate how the event is introduced. So when it gets to the time and that event happens, do you want it to fade in? Do you want it to roll in? Do you want it to bounce? How do you want it to come in? How do you want it to enter so that it captures the viewer's eyes? Click next and it takes you to the event content. This is where you designate what event will actually transpire. What is it going to do? You could display a button, you could display text, you could display an image, you could display a wide array of things. Once you've configured the general settings and the style of the event, now you have to designate what content the event is going to display. And this is where you literally grab the content, the little widget, and you just drag it and drop it. Then you're done. You click on save and on the event, and now the event is in your video. Number 11, the page. This is a super duper neat feature. I love this because it makes interacting with my team and my students so much quicker. Easy Video Suite automatically creates a basic web page for all your videos on the fly and instantly provides you with the sharing URL. I mentioned this earlier, when you drag and drop a video file into the desktop application, it automatically converts and makes your video web ready. It automatically does everything behind the scenes for you and then automatically uploads that video for you to your Easy Video Suite so you can go and configure your settings and stuff we've been talking about. At the same time, it literally creates a web page for you and drops it on there so you can instantly share it. Even before I have configured any settings, I can share the video page with my staff, my students, and I can quickly share information using the video page, which is awesome. If I want to get a little bit more fancy, I can modify the appearance of the page and add many types of components like comment buttons and images to the page itself. So it literally has a web page editor. Number 12. The embed section. You can download the page in a zip file so you can perform advanced editing with your own HTML editor. So this thing is unreal. It creates a web page for you and the URL. It gives you the embed code in case you want to take the video and embed it with all of its actions and everything. It will carry over events and actions if you want to carry that over to a website of your own. It also gives you the options to modify a page and download that page it has created for you. Truly powerful stuff here. In the page editor, you can drag and drop any of the widgets you're seeing, and you can arrange them in any order and customize these widgets. You can choose from various web page templates down at the bottom. They've got various colors, styles, right where you literally assemble the web page. You can put things on there like Facebook comments, custom HTML, purchase buttons, feedback forms, all kinds of stuff, and you can select the different style of the template and really customize your website. Think about this. It literally removes the need to go to another platform and start building the site on which to put my video on. It truly makes the whole video marketing thing a lot faster, doesn't it? In the end, I like to use Easy Video Suite to create a unique video playback experience. I suggest that you do this for your viewers as well because it literally makes you stand out. This opens viral marketing tactics that you otherwise can't accomplish with other video players out there. Like I said earlier, you never get a second chance at a first impression. So why leave it to some sort of free platform that is going to advertise to your viewers? I recommend that you use Easy Video Suite. Dive in, experiment with it, play with it. That's the best way to learn more and more about it. And that's the best way to become an expert at using Easy Video Suite and at creating powerful and engaging videos.